sahana bhavatu sahana bhunaktu saha viryam karavavahai tejasvi navadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hiranyakashipu continued, page 89. Just as uncontrolled senses are the enemies of all yogis engaged in advancing in spiritual life, this Prahlad, who appears to be a friend, is an enemy because I cannot control him. Therefore, this enemy, whether eating, sitting, or sleeping, must be killed by all means. The demons, Rakshasas, the servants of Hiranyakashipu, thus began striking the tender parts of Prahlad Maharaja's body with their tridents. The demons all had fearful faces, sharp teeth, and reddish coppery beards and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening, making a tumultuous sound, shouting, "Chop him up, pierce him." They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though a person who has no assets and pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. Thus, the weapons of the demons had no tangible effects upon Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a devotee undisturbed by material conditions and fully engaged in meditating upon serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchangeable, who cannot be realized by the material senses, and who is the soul of the entire universe. Srila Prabhupada comments, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this verse as Anir Deshye. We cannot understand him to be in a particular place, for he is all-pervasive. Furthermore, he is Akhilatma, the active principle of everything, even material weapons. Those who cannot understand the position of the Lord are unfortunate. They may think that they can kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, but all their attempts will be futile. The Lord knows how to deal with them. Right? So the potency and the weapons to act as weapons, then that potency is the Lord. And so the Lord being all-pervading, there's no place where they can be functioning without being him. So if he doesn't want them to act, they won't. Right? And then Prahlad Maharaj is situated on the transcendental platform. How can anything material affect him? Right? So, from all these different angles, then the demons are trying their best, but they don't have the adhikar to actually deal on this platform. Yes?
Being on the spiritual platform, does it mean that he already developed a spiritual body?
Not necessarily. In here, he may or may not, but the point is he's functioning on the spiritual platform, and so therefore, the Lord all things being spiritual, all being the Lord, therefore, then he's on that equal platform with the Lord, and you can't do anything to him. So then he gets the same facility, like that. Whether he has a spiritual body or not, that's another thing. Yes.
Sometimes you say that just because one is a devotee and is on the transcendental platform doesn't mean that material nature doesn't affect him. I mean, it doesn't function, but it just doesn't affect him in that same way.
Yeah, that means emotionally it doesn't bother him or like that. But still, the point is it depends on the Lord.
Oh, okay.
If the Lord wants something to happen, it happens. If he doesn't want it to happen, it doesn't happen.
Because, for example, when Srila Prabhupada had the heart attacks on the ship, he actually physically had a heart attack.
Yes. No, the point is how do you say? Things happen. The point is with the devotees, it's under the control of the Lord whether they'll happen or not.
Yeah.
For the non-devotee, it's under the control of the modes of nature.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you help clarify, we know that the Lord, he's never directly implicated in the material world.
Yes.
And he only associates with the internal potency.
Right.
And so these weapons that are being wielded by the demons, it appears as though he is intervening and reducing their...
It's not so much that here he's intervening as if he's going against his rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's that he's in control of how the material energy functions.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that control is that it doesn't function with the devotees according to the same way it does with the karmis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, what's good for their spiritual benefit, that will be what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if a reaction happens or doesn't happen, it's depending on what will be the best for that person's development. So it's still according to his rules, and it's still carried out. In other words, if for the general devotees, then Maya herself carries out the good benefits that the devotee will get.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more advanced than the internal potency of the Lord himself may personally take care of. Like we see with Raghunath Das, he's on the bank of Radhakund, then Krishna himself is coming and shooing away the tigers, and Radharani's holding her cloth over his head to protect from the sun. That's direct, but that's what you only see in very, very elevated persons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Prahlad Maharaj is one such person.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, with us, we're getting the benefits given by Krishna, but it still comes through the agency of the external energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So it's still within his rules. It's just that the karmi gets what's just for his action according to what he's performed. The devotee gets what's just according to his action, according to the devotion.
Mm.
Right? So since the ideas that the material reactions, good or bad, are to support one's developing better qualities and giving up bad qualities.
Yes.
So in the same way as developing devotion and moving in that way, or avoiding moving away from devotional service, therefore reactions are coming with the devotees.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's dictated on what will be better for us rather than what we think will be better for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Yeah. Yes?
This is not sure I commented to the Uttara Mimamsa philosophy. So in Purva Mimamsa, then it is Atato Dharma Jigyasa, that Dharma is everything, so you just perform your duties and the reactions or results are automatic. But in Uttara Mimamsa, then that aspect of the Lord, so weapons should cut, but if the Lord decides he doesn't cut, well, he is above Dharma, so he can intervene.
Yeah,
if he please.
Yeah. Because the point of weapons is to be used in the case of a dharmic principle being broken, so then they're used in that. But here, he's following the para dharma, so what is he broken? So the weapons aren't supposed to be used in that way, so they don't function. Sri Narad Muni continued, "My dear king," and as also says here, the Lord knows how to deal with them, so we don't have to worry about it. You know, it's just we do our duties, and the Lord will take care of all other things.
Mm-hmm.
Narad Muni continued, "My dear King Yudhishthira, when all the attempts of the demons to kill Prahlad Maharaj were futile, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being most fearful, began contriving other means to kill him." Right? So he's already fearful because he can't control him. Right? Because control and fear are in the same place. Control, fear, envy, they're all part of the same package. They're all sambandha. So he can't control his son, so he's fearful of that. Because he's controlling everyone in the universe. Okay, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva are kind of out of the loop, but they're not the ones that work on the day-to-day basis that you see anyway. Like that, you know, the demigods and all that, they're the ones that take care of everything. So you know, he's okay. But now, here's someone like them who is not under his control. How powerful is he? He's the most powerful in the universe, right? The only ones above him are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And Prahlad Mars is unably controlled by him also. That puts him on that same level of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So who is this five-year-old? Right? You know, it's kind of, yes.
He's really blinded by envy, because otherwise his father is very proud of what his son can do.
Yes, he yes. Yeah, he should be proud that I'm so powerful and my son's even more powerful, right? You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then he should get all the demigods to offer obeisances to Prahlad, right? Yeah, yeah. But, you know, yes, but like you say, he's blinded. Hiranyakashipu could not kill his son by throwing him beneath the feet of big elephants, throwing him among huge, fearful snakes, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of a mountain, conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison, starving him, exposing him to severe cold, winds, fire, and water, or throwing heavy stones to crush him. When Hiranyakashipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who is completely sinless, he was in great anxiety about what to do next.
How much
yes.
time?
Very funny, because then he sent him back to school.
What else do you do? You know, you can't do anything with him, so we just go back to normal. And he's fine, he goes to school. It's kind of like, okay. Yeah. At least, you see, it's like this. The father wants to control him, so at least he can send him to school, right? That much works, you know.
He was upset with the teachers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he can control the teachers, so he's hoping that, you know. Verses 45 to 57. Prahlad Maharaj is brought back to the Gurukul. Prahlad Maharajais.
Jais.
Prahlad Mahar. Yeah. Maha. Maha. Rajais. Maha. Rajais. Maharajais. Okay. Shunda and Amarka began teaching Prahlad in their own way, but Prahlad did not accept their instructions. While the teachers were absent from the classroom, Prahlad Maharaj began to preach Krishna consciousness in the school. And by his instructions, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became devotees like him. Hiranyakashipu thought, I have used many ill names in chastising this boy Prahlad, and have devised many means of killing him. But despite all my endeavors, he could not be killed. Indeed, he saved himself by his own powers, without being affected in the least by these treacherous and abominable actions, right? Because he used his own, what he's feeling, his own powers, did his austerity, and therefore got the benediction that he could do what he's doing. So if now he's the most powerful, and he can't control him, so then he's seeing this is all coming from him. He doesn't understand that his own power comes from Krishna, and his son's power comes from Krishna. Although he is very near to me and is merely a child, he is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curved tail, which can never be straightened. Because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu. I can see that this boy's strength is unlimited. Right, so he doesn't understand is Prahlad's not going to worry about what's done. He's always going to remember Vishnu, that's there. But himself, if someone did something to him, he never forgets, like Hiranyaksha was killed. So he doesn't forget that. So he's thinking Prahlad will be like that. I can see that this boy's strength is unlimited, for he has not feared any of my punishments. He appears immortal. Right, which is what he wants. Yeah. Right? Therefore, because of my enmity towards him, I shall die. Or maybe this will not take place. You know, it's obvious. Maybe I'll die from this, but maybe it won't happen.
Yeah. So he's the original Jain?
Yeah, the original Jain, or the original, what do you call it? Not the French philosopher things. Guy drives us, you know, there's nothing in the world, it's all useless.
Oh, so,
yeah, then he sits on the train track, the train comes, goes by, And then after the train goes by, he's still sitting on the track. He was on the wrong track. We thought, oh, well. And then with a happy, you know, then drives off. Existentialist.
Yes.
Yes. The original. Yeah. So just the materialist, you know, it's obvious what it should be, but then there's always the hope maybe it will be something else, you know. We see this throughout. Thinking in this way, the king of the Daityas, morose and bereft of bodily luster, remains silent with his face downward. Then Shanda and Amarka, the two sons of Sukracharya, spoke to him in secret. Shanda and Amarka said, O Lord, we know that when you simply move your eyebrows, all the commanders of the various planets are most afraid. Without the help of any assistant, you have conquered all the three worlds. Right? It's not that he went out with a great army and all this and that. He just did it himself. That's what's so unique, because everyone else goes with an army. Balimars goes with an army. The others go with armies. But he can just do it himself. That's what makes it most fearful, because if he goes out with the army could rebel, so many different things. But no, he did it himself, so there's no one to contest. Right? That's really, you know, a problem. Therefore, we do not find any reason for you to be morose and full of anxiety. As for Pallad, he is nothing but a child and cannot be a cause of anxiety. After all, his bad or good qualities have no value. Until the return of our spiritual master, Shukracharya, arrest this child with the ropes of Varuna so that he will not flee in fear. In any case, by the time he is somewhat grown up and has assimilated our instructions or served our spiritual master, he will change in his intelligence. Thus, there need be no cause for anxiety. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to verses 49 and 50, Shanda and Amarka said, we do not see it suitable for you to think about desires you cannot attain. But my son's nature is opposite, is to oppose me. We do not see the behavior of children in terms of good and bad. We will understand the good or bad nature of his intelligence after his childhood. Let that be. What should I do right now? Then they say, any man develops intelligence by age after passing childhood and by service to the Acharya. Then question, who is the Acharya? When will he serve the Acharya? They say, when Sukracharya returns, he will become intelligent. Right? So their point is, he's just a child. You can't really judge good and bad here, because they think so many things and all that. It's when they develop in their maturity after serving under the teacher, that's when you can say, okay, now this is who he is. He thinks in his own way, he does like this. But right now he's a child, so therefore don't take it too seriously. You just have him come back, we will train him, then when Sukracharya comes, he will serve him, then by the grace of the Acharya, then so many things will be revealed. Right? So they're saying the same thing, but they're using it for the material purpose. Because it's the same principle. If it wasn't the same principle, then how would it be working on the higher principle? Point is, even if you want material knowledge, you have to serve the person you're learning it from. You do that nicely, you'll become good at it. Why? It's not that they give the... means they're being satisfied, means you've took care. But it's Krishna being satisfied, you're following the principle of serving the teacher. Therefore, Krishna gives the knowledge. Does that make sense? Okay. So even on the material platform it comes, they don't understand the difference between material and spiritual, though. So they just think it's all one thing, so... After hearing these instructions of Shanda and Amarka, the sons of a spiritual master, Hiranyakashipu agreed and requested them to instruct Pallad in the system of occupational duty, which is followed by royal household families. 51. Srila Prabhupada comments. There are two kinds of royal families. The one whose members are simply attached to household life, and the other consisting of Rajarshis, kings who govern with ruling power, but as good as great saints. So, those who are only interested in the occupational duty of the king and the benefits gained from that. And the other is who, like great Brahmins, they manage everything for the upliftment of the whole community, right? But they're different from Brahmins in that they're interested in the administration, while the Brahmins won't be. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to become a Rajarshi, whereas Hiranyakashipu wanted him to become a king attached to sense enjoyment, Grihamedi Nam. Therefore, in the Aryan system, there is Varnashram Dharma, by which everyone should be educated according to his position in society's division of Varna, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and Ashrama, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. So the point is the knowledge itself is not the problem. It's the use of it, the interpretation of it, the application, the consciousness. That's the part that Prahlad doesn't like. It's not that learning the duties of being a king is a problem, because he's from a Kshatriya family. Naturally, after his father, he would run the kingdom. Right? And then he'll run it on that transcendental platform. So then all the demons will be benefited. So Sri Narad Muni continued, thereafter, Shanda and Amarka systematically and unceasingly taught Prahlad Maharaj, who was very submissive and humble, about mundane religion, economic development, and sense gratification. The teachers, they're humble and submissive, means he's a good student because he has good qualities. Not that he was humble and submissive to their instructions. He's humble and submissive in his behavior, that he acts properly with the teacher. Like that. Mm-hmm. The teacher, Shanda Namarka, instructed Prahlad Maharaj in the three kinds of material advancement, called religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Prahlad, however, being situated above such instructions, did not like them, for such instructions are based on the duality of worldly affairs, which involve one in materialistic way of life marked by birth, death, old age, and disease. Srila Prabhupada comments, the entire world is interested in the materialistic way of life. Indeed, practically 99.9% of the people in the three worlds are uninterested in liberation or spiritual education. Only the devotees of the Lord, headed by such great personalities as Prahlad Maharaj and Narad Muni, are interested in the real education of spiritual life. One cannot understand the principles of religion while staying on the material platform. So the knowledge may be similar, means because you're going to use your prescribed duties in the service of the Lord, but how you're going to interpret it, what's the value of what you're going to do, that's going to be the part that he doesn't like about Shanda and Namarka. Right? Because they're going to interpret a particular rule, how you can get sense gratification from it, rather than how that rule applies in Krishna's service. Right? He'll use it in Krishna's service, but the point is they're showing how to use it in sense gratification. Yes?
But even for a king, like in Manu, it says that a king should not be attached to sense gratification, even like in a material.
Yeah, because Manu is meant for the actual upliftment. So Manu is for Rajarshis, but you can use Manu just to be a king. You know what I'm saying? All members of the Varnashram community are supposed to be engaged in Daiva Varnashram. But if you don't understand it that way, you can use it just in an ordinary way. It's like just like cooking. The system of cooking, the method of cooking, that's used by Radharani and Mother Jashoda to cook for Krishna. But in the material world, people use the same system to cook for themselves.
Yeah. I just thought that materially it's not beneficial for a king to be attached to sense enjoyment either.
It's not. Just like it's not beneficial to cook for yourself.
Okay.
You're not catching is that the knowledge is the same as how you use it.
I understand.
You understand? Yeah. The devotee goes out, buys their kilos of potatoes, takes them home, cooks them, offers them to Krishna. The karmi goes, buys the same quality of potatoes from the same potato guy, takes them home, cooks the same preparation for themselves. The devotee's actually benefited. The karmi's not benefited.
Yes.
It appears he's benefited, but actually, how is he benefited?
Yes. I guess my point is that since Sanda and Marka are trying to teach him material, how to be the king, the best materially, then I'm thinking even for material purposes, being attached to sense enjoyment is not beneficial for even a material king. So I was wondering why they're even teaching him how to be a sense enjoyment attached to materially even.
Because the purpose of the Vedas is to understand the Lord. And since they're not interested in that, they don't understand that.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand Hiranyakashipu's tapasya that he performed in order to achieve all these powers. Just extreme sense control, discipline. So is that like a contrast with karma? Is there like an element of jnana there? Or is that just a pure karmic activity?
Because generally, yoga's
tyaga. There's renunciation and there's enjoyment.
Yes, but the renunciation is for sense enjoyment.
Uh-huh.
So yoga is generally counted as part of karma. So that's why most of the time you see it just says karma and jnana.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally it'll say karma, jnana, and yoga,
mm-hmm.
like that. But it's actually because yoga is a form of karma. It's only actually when you get to meditation upon the Supreme Lord, you know, like that. That meditation samadhi, then it actually takes on the higher form, like that. Was it yoga ruruksu and yoga rupa? So only those last two are considered. What's the higher one? I always get them mixed up.
Yoga ruruksu.
So yoga ruruksu, that's all karma because you're just performing the activities there. So he's only doing it because I'll be austere so I get benefit. That's
mm-hmm.
the whole point. Is I follow this ritualistic method. Let's say you want to do a soma yajna,
mm-hmm.
right? Now it's going to take you 9 months to build the kunda,
mm-hmm.
right? Then once you get it, then it's 90 Brahmins and the whole arrangement. It's a big, big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, practically a year will go by.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So then, but during that year, when you start it, there'll be a sankalpa, so you'll make a vrata to, you know, follow strictly the rules of vrata for that whole time. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to be austere, they're not going to be engaged in sense gratification, so many things they're going to be doing, following your standard sadhana. But their purpose of doing it is to get the benefit of that soma yajna. So bhog and tyag, they go together. Because ultimately, even if you look at it, though it's in the other category, why it can be confusing is that the ultimate goal of jnana is also enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing renunciation to get that enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
So they are restricting the senses to get an enjoyment without the senses,
mm-hmm.
while these ones are doing restricting the senses to get enjoyment on the platform of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
So in either case, the restriction works.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we restrict our senses because we want to be able to engage them in transcendental service.
Mm-hmm.
So the same process is there for all three,
mm-hmm.
right? The control of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Then, from that, then it's going to be, you're going to get the benefit of that in the mundane senses, without senses or with spiritual senses.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So the Vedic system is the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Those who understand it and follow it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how you interpret it is different. Because anything you want within the three worlds or within the cosmos can be gained through following the Vedic system.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what's your ultimate goal.
Yeah.
So this idea is that I don't need to follow the Vedic system and I can get the same benefit. The only one that agrees with that is Vivekananda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's whatever path you follow, it gets the same result. You know, it's the same kind of, you know, it's not that well thought out.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different, the process is anywhere you want to take yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, within the cosmos,
yeah.
you have to follow the yogic system, the Vedic system.
Yeah.
And that will elevate you within this universe, outside this universe, or into the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Is that that work? Yeah. So it's one process. It's just what you want to get for it. It's like doing the same work. Let's say I work, you know, for 10 hours, you know, for the day, and from that I can either get 10 rupees, 1 lakh of rupees, or you know, unlimited crores. It's just whichever you want, depending upon what your intent.
This pastime also illustrates that even if you're after power and immortality, Prahlad achieved it after like 5 years instead of millions of years.
yes. But actually, it's even at five is when you saw the problem.
Yeah.
Because he went to Gurukul, because then the teachers were there. But otherwise, he was like this. I think when he was three, he was, you know, all the ecstatic symptoms are manifesting, and now they just thought it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes, he followed the process and got. See, the point is if you're going for the unlimited, the limited aspects are just kind of like they're thrown in. You know, it's like, you know, you buy the thing and then they throw in some expensive samples along with it. You know, it's like it's just they just go along with it. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. There isn't another system. That's why it's always strange when people think up different systems. When no, there's just one system.
Yeah.
The reason the West has so many problems is because they don't follow the system. And any places where they are getting success is because they are following the system.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to follow it properly. Mm-hmm. You can't just say and make up your own. Even within the Western, you can't make it up. You have to follow. You know, like that. You know, it's just there is a method.
Mm-hmm.
So the difficulty is that this idea of the those who are situated in success, they don't adjust things because it's working. Why adjust it? You know, if it's not broken, why fix it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And those who have nothing, they're very careful to follow it because they want to make sure they get. It's mm-hmm. the ones in the middle that have something. You know, you're lower middle class, upper middle class, lower rich, like this, they kind of have, but then they think they can speculate and whatever they come up with in the mind can be done
mm-hmm.
and will be successful, though we do not see in history any success.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's not coming from there. So it's the Vedic system will work for anybody if they follow it. It's just a matter of what kind of guru you have. You have one that's transcendental, you can get the transcendental benefit. You have one that's material, like Sukracharya, then you'll get that benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, what was his name? Prachina Bharhishad. So when he met Narad Muni, he was actually, you know, it made sense, but he was shocked that there's this whole other perspective. And, you know, the point was none of his Brahmins had this perspective. So he didn't know about it, because his gurus were materialistic. Therefore, that's all he was trained in.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But as soon as he now heard about the actual, then he switched to that process.
Yeah.
You know, and then his sons, they were on that platform.
Mm.
Like that. So that's the thing, it's the consciousness that changes, not what you're doing. But the difficulty with that understanding is our attachment to what we're doing. So we say you don't have to change what you're doing, you have to change the consciousness. Then it's like, oh great, I don't have to change what I'm doing. Not, oh great, I can change my consciousness and get, you know, a transcendental effect. So that's what it says, the swanishta, or sanishta. Yeah, there is a bit of swat in this. the sanishta, then he's willing to engage in the Lord's service, but he likes to engage his own things in the Lord's service. It's not so much about the Lord. It's about devotional service is going to get me the benefit, rather than by benefiting Krishna, that's actually my position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just a lack of maturity. So they're very attached to the methods that they use, the processes that are used, rather than they're not attached to the devotional service, they're attached to what they're using in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you say you don't have to change what you're doing, you only have to change the conscious, that's actually a very elevated position. But it's interpreted from this lower position,
mm-hmm.
right? Because technically that's the nirapeksha view.
Mm-hmm.
But being viewed from the sanishta, then they'll see is, oh, I can just live however I'm living and that's fine, and I just add a little Krishna consciousness, which will work,
mm-hmm.
but it's not what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What they're talking about is a complete revolution in the consciousness where you see everything in connection to Krishna. It's about Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing can be engaged in Krishna's service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you see everything connected to Krishna. But here it's that, oh, everything's connected to Krishna, though I don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everything's connected to Krishna, the Vedic is also connected to Krishna. So if people want to follow that, then great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're following that for Krishna, I'm following the non-Vedic for Krishna, it's all wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's that what I'm doing is great, and what others are doing, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you take different approaches to the modern, then they'll say, no, our one is good, the other one's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty. It's not properly thought out. It's not actually a deep understanding of what the acharyas are given. Because the point is that since it's Krishna's potency that's at work within whatever you're doing, therefore I should see that potency and the everything connected to Krishna. Then that's the taste in it. Rather than the secondary taste that I get from the mundane benefits that come along with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like going out and buying groceries and they give you a bag and you're totally into the bag. You know? And don't even worry about the groceries. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the kids. Mom gives a bag to the kid, you know, some stuff in it, and then they go out to play and they dump everything out and then they go and pick up rocks and stuff, put it in the bag. Wow, that's cool. And, you know. Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Those interested in spiritual life should follow Prahlad Maharaj in rejecting the education of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Right, because it's a mentality. It's not the techniques that are used. Does that make sense? The sense is how to engage them in the sense objects. To do that for sense gratification or to do that in bhakti is the same thing. Right? It's just like this. Let us say we've gone out. Okay, we have this kilo of potatoes. Right? And one has cooked them for Krishna, offered them to Krishna. One's cooked them for themselves, the same preparations. Okay? Now, we're going to, now the next step, engaging the senses in the sense objects, right? Now, is there going to be a difference in the method of eating of the devotee and the non-devotee? One's going to put it in their mouth, the gross sense gratifier for sense gratification, and the devotee is going to smear it on top of his head, right? Isn't it, right? You know, babies are in a transcendental position, so that's what they do. You know, you have to teach them the mundane and bring them down to the mundane level by showing them that things go in their mouth, right? Isn't it?
All their senses perform the function.
Yeah, of all the other senses, yes, like that. You know. Like that. Yeah. No, they'll put it in their mouth. So, because it goes on the tongue, that's where the taste is. Because Krishna made it that way. The difference is the devotee's appreciating Krishna in the form of prasad, but the karmi's just appreciating the nice taste and he's enjoying that. So one's getting spiritual benefit, the other's getting the material. Yes?
And still the same thing as for the Panchakosha, same, like Anandamaya, they realize God as the food, the karmi's and the devotee, same prasad, for the same preparation, but we see Krishna in that.
They see the Anandamaya,
where they
appreciate the Supreme
in the form of the
food. Yes,
Anandamaya.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so nothing changes there. It's a fallacy to think that it changes. So that's why the Vedic system is there explaining. So then the fun part is that it's being said that no, we'll engage our senses according to the modern ways of doing things, and you know, but for Krishna. But then, how the Vedic says to engage the senses, that'll send me. Oh, that's sense gratification. Somehow or another, the Western materialist, that's not sense gratification. If you use that for Krishna, if you use the Vedic system, that's sense gratification. So that's also not very mature because they can't actually even deal with their senses in a full way. They have to deal in a restricted way, But they'll call that, you know, I'm being independent and doing like that, because the actual full experience of the senses they can't handle. So in other words, it's the superior engagement of the senses they can't deal with that. They can only work on a restricted, you know, it's just like you take a polar bear. Now down on, you know, within the tropics, it's actually nicer weather, more things, or a lot of variety, but the polar bear can't handle it. He'd rather be, you know, up there where it's freezing. You know? One should be interested in spiritual education. That means how to use everything connected to Krishna. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement is spreading all over the world, following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, who did not like any of the materialistic education he received from his teachers. Right? So many came forward who were in positions of having facility in sense gratification. That's what has to be also understood. It's like we probably talked about those first early hippies, at least the East Coast hippies and stuff like that. West Coast is another thing. The dirty hippies are a different kettle of fish. Right? The East Coast hippies, then they generally came from good families, wealthy families, well-to-do families, well-situated families, but they saw the miseries that are there within it, their parents, the whole social scene. There's nothing actually of anything great. Being thoughtful, therefore they left that and became basically kind of hippies, you know, like that. Then when they were shown what is reality, they immediately took it. Right? So it's not that, you know, somebody from an only those from don't have anything, then Krishna consciousness means. This is the first ones that came were ones that were connected with good material facilities, intelligent, good degrees, good everything like this, but they didn't see any satisfaction. Right? Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the point is that they came forward. So if it worked then, why would it work now? You know, this idea, no, but if we deal with more educated people and this and that, we can't present like this. It worked back then. Why wouldn't it work now? And you say, oh, that was in the 60s. The 60s was more restricted on anything outside of the social norm. You know what I'm saying? It was more restricted. So actually, it's more open now. And then we're saying, oh, we can't do it? You know, it's about as an intelligent statement as how you say, you know, the individuals that say we went to the moon before, but now we don't have the technology to do it. You know, it's about that smart. Nard Muni continued, when the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Srila Prabhupada comments, in tiffin hours, the hours when the teachers were absent from the classroom, the students called Prahlad Maharaj wanting to play with him. As will be seen from the following verses, however, Prahlad Maharaj was not very much interested in playing. Instead, he wanted to utilize every moment for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, as indicated in this verse by the word Krita Shanaihi, at the opportune moment when it was possible to preach about Krishna consciousness, Prahlad Maharaj used the time as follows. Sri Narad Muni continued. Prahlad Maharaj, right, you can see, is in the same, just like Vishwanath and Bala, they make the connections between verses, the Sangati, the Prabhupada's doing the same. Sri Narad Muni continued. Prahlad Maharaj, who is truly the supreme learned person, then addressed his class friends in very sweet language. Smiling, he began to teach them about the uselessness of materialistic way of life. Being very kind to them, he instructed them as follows. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Vidvan Tananishtam means he knew that the boys had faith in him as their teacher. He smiled, excuse me, slightly, thinking, these boys have fallen into the net of the Lord's mercy. The duty of those who fall in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj is to teach the entire world how to be Krishna conscious and thus be really happy. Materialistic persons are engaged in striving for temporary benefits. Whereas persons advanced in spiritual knowledge, such as Paladmars, are not interested in the materialistic way of life. Instead, they want to be elevated to an eternal life of knowledge and bliss. Therefore, as Krishna is always compassionate to the fallen souls, his servants, the devotees of Lord Krishna, are also interested in educating the entire populace in Krishna consciousness. The mistake of materialistic life is understood by devotees, and therefore they smile upon it, considering it insignificant. Out of compassion, however, such devotees preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. Sri Narad Muni concluded, "My dear King Yudhishthira, all the children were very much affectionate and respectful to Prahlad Maharaj, and because of their tender age, they were not so polluted by the instructions and actions of their teachers, who were attached to condemned duality and bodily comfort. Thus the boys surrounded Prahlad Maharaj, giving up their playthings, and sat down to hear him. Their hearts and eyes being fixed upon him, they looked at him with great earnestness. Prahlad Maharaj, although born in a demon family, was an exalted devotee, and he desired their welfare. Thus he began instructing them about the futility of materialistic life." Right. Srila Prabhupada comments, "The words bala adushita dhya indicate that the children, being of a tender age, were not as polluted by materialistic life as their fathers. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, taking advantage of the innocence of his class friends, began teaching them about the importance of spiritual life and the insignificance of materialistic life. Although the teachers Shanda and Amarka were instructing all the boys in the materialistic life of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, the boys were not much polluted. Therefore, with great attention, they wanted to hear from Prahlad Maharaj about Krishna consciousness. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the Gurukula plays an extremely important part in our activities, because right from childhood, the boys at the Gurukula are instructed about Krishna consciousness. Thus, they become steady within the cores of their hearts, and there is very little possibility that they will be conquered by the modes of material nature when they are older." So this young age, then, they don't have the experience. Not that they don't have some scars from previous life, but at this point their consciousness is not focused on that. So then if this life, then they get that foundation of Krishna consciousness. Then as they grow up, then they're able to see its value and use. But if they don't do that, they're just taught from the beginning about materialism and how to benefit in the material world. They don't have that foundation, and then that will always be a problem for them, right? Because they don't know how to live outside of that. Right? So the whole idea is that they live in that simple environment based on Krishna consciousness, based on service to Guru and Krishna. Then they have that understanding of the simplicity. They're able to apply that in their life later. Yes.
And also the idea behind the purva samskara or previous samskaras, previous impressions. So the purva samskaras are the Krishna conscious samskaras. So whatever comes later in that is compared to the Krishna conscious values.
Yes, yes, yes.
So whatever becomes the measuring stick for everything in life, as far as success or failure is concerned. While people have purva samskaras are the materialistic samskaras, and everything that materialistic samskaras are just the measuring stick.
Yes, yes. Just like if you learn material knowledge, you'll compare Krishna conscious knowledge to that.
Yeah.
Well, if you get Krishna conscious first, then you compare material. Because the point is, the material is only as valuable as it functions in getting your duties done. Right? You have an occupation, because that's the only place. If it's said, why get a karmi education? Because then you can get a job. They don't say get a karmi education because then, you know, how you deal with your family and the interactions of your family and all that will be fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's never brought up once.
Sometimes the opposite, actually. They worry.
Yeah, that's another thing. But the point is it's only for that. So only how much is necessary for occupation is its value. So therefore, Krishna consciousness, then, okay, I understand this knowledge, I can use it because of its value in getting facility that I can maintain a Krishna conscious family. Then it has some meaning. But otherwise, if we think it itself is going to be the cause of happiness, that I have a job, I get money, therefore I'll be happy in ashram, then that's a total waste of time. But if it's a matter of, no, the training in the ashram, that's what's going to make me happy, that has to be maintained, therefore there's varna. So there, whatever knowledge and skills I require for that, then we do, according to our nature. Then it has a balance, because the focus will always be on the ashram side. So your sadhana, your family, your relationships, all that will be the prominent. So it's just a matter of... So here we're talking about the double aspect of samskar, is that here we're talking about the learning the Vedic, but they're learning it from a materialistic point of view. So even they're materialistic, they'll follow the Vedic lifestyle. Then you have the thing where it's materialistic and non-Vedic, so then you have two samskars that are a problem in judging Krishna consciousness. So that's why it's not considered the ideal. So that's what Prabhupada says, the Gurukul, then they can learn all these subjects in the proper environment, so then later on it will be better. Right? Then their children will have it easier, their children again easier. You know, in other words, when you have three generations that are all nicely situated in Krishna consciousness, then it works so much better.
So, question.
Yes.
So Shandana and Amarka are teaching Prahlada and his classmates politics and economics. It seems that they're teaching on the level of, would you say, purva mimamsa, or through piety one can enjoy.
Yes.
So that appears to be the main philosophical conception, misconception that's presented in Bhagavatam so far about kings attached to their sacrifices, material enjoyment. We don't find much Mayavad opposition to Bhakti and Vedanta in Bhagavatam. It seems like that's more in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Prakashananda Saraswati and other Mayavadis presenting an important viewpoint.
Okay.
So would you agree with that notion that Bhagavatam doesn't really deal with Mayavad?
Well, Prabhupada in his purports is dealing with it a lot, so it is there. But you probably say is you don't see many impersonalists that are being dealt with in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Yes?
Well, historically, Shankaracharya came way after...
that's the point also.
You know, this is more a contemporary phenomenon, Mayavadism.
Okay, yeah, that's also the point. Before you had impersonalists, he's basing on, that I know of, is three different schools of impersonal philosophy, and using them as a basis for the... I think Shastric evidence for the Praman, though he's actually just using Buddhist philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to give in other words, they're Buddhist by philosophy, but Vedic by religion is what he's introduced. So then in that way, that could be like what he says, is that why we won't see it in the Bhagavatam specifically. But the impersonal concepts, it's not that they're not dealt with, because Shukadeva Goswami started off that way. Before Kumara started off that way.
Right.
But to convert an actual impersonal, a Brahmavadi, is extremely easy.
Mm-hmm.
A real Brahmavadi, if you bring him in contact with devotional service, he'll be able to distinguish immediately on the spot. So it's like kind of like one contact and you've made it devoted.
Mm-hmm.
While the Mayavadis, you know, it's like, can be a lost cause, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Prabhupada said, the demons, they took this Mayavad philosophy, so like trying to preach to Hiranyakashipu that Vishnu is supreme is just not going to fly.
Yeah.
While Brahmavadis, they just don't know about the beginners in spiritual life, they appreciate the personal aspects, so the innocence is there, which know that aversion or envy to the supreme, or it's just like a governor.
Yeah, and you see, so Ramanuja and Madhva, they deal with Shankara.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Nimbarka and Vishnuswami don't, because they're before.
Mm-hmm.
So then Lord Chaitanya would be then giving a Chintabeda Deva Tattva. Because Ramanuja gave, that should conquer. Madhva then, you know, cleaned up what was left, you know, but then still there's some stragglers who are really, really, so only a Chintabeda Deva Tattva can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
But it's also, even if we have impersonal understanding in our own, we won't necessarily understand it we're more developed in devotional service. You know?
Right.
You know, it's just like you talk to any monotheistic person, they'll think they're impersonalist, but ultimately God has no form, so they don't even know that they're impersonalist.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's true.
So that's also can be an aspect. You know, because if you take it in the order of their study, then you've already understood about devotional service, rasa. Then these finer points, just like in the Gita, then you have, you know, the basic, you know, fundamentals of how you function, then the devotional, then they get into the technical points in the last six chapters. So then the same Bhagavatam in the 11th canto gets into that. So then with that you can open in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now you can work on that level of subtlety. Because you're always trying to establish the transcendental position and then the material, you know, juxtaposition to that. But you don't want to, you're not comparing the spiritual to material, you're comparing material to spiritual. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Also there appears to be a distinction between philosophically being personal and then by behavior. But we've seen by philosophy some people are very, you know, they believe in personal, but in terms of relationship they're very personal.
Yes. Yes, two and one. Getting more for your money, right? You're getting the karmi plus a jnani bonus. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, yes, they just don't understand. They don't know. There's no thinking because it's about themselves, they are the standard. Then they don't notice in themselves that. So it's, okay, so we finished that one. Important verses. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj replies, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.5. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So, the difficulty comes if we've accepted the body and household life as the all in all, then you're going to be embarrassed because you'll always be suffering. Because it's compared to a dry well, is that what we expect to get from it is not there. All the happiness, all the things, all the wonderfulness, all the, you know, the swelling of the music, the, you know, the panning of the camera, the, you know, the sunrise, you know, all that kind of stuff like that, you know. What they don't catch is that, yeah, on that mountain, if you pull it over to the side, then you see it says the end. It doesn't say, you know, like that, yeah. So the whole point is that it's not getting what they want. So therefore, is that better than they go to the forest? Because at least you don't have all that endeavor, and you don't have all that suffering that goes along with it. Right? But better than that is going to Vrindavan, where you engage in positive service, where therefore all that you're doing is connected to the Lord. So that's the best. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? That's the 7.5.23-24. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming a servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he's acquired complete knowledge. Because right? Others, you're acquiring knowledge to simply maintain your life. That's all anybody, if somebody becomes a doctor, a lawyer, or becomes an academic, that to maintain themselves. They're not doing it just for free. Right? They're expecting to get something from it. You know, it's just a matter of who's more smart. You know? So here's that someone who sees devotional service and does things connected to devotional service, that's the most learned person, because they see you actually get the most benefit from devotional service. Right? So, therefore, leaving the materialistic concept of life, giving that up, taking up the transcendental life of Vrindavan, then applying yourself into these nine principles, these nine devotional principles, that is the learned person. That's actually learned. Otherwise, simply by, like Shanda Namarka, they know the materialistic ways to enjoy this, you know, well of material existence, no one's going to be happy. Hiranyakashipu's not happy. So the point is if he can't do it, there is no one that can be happy. He's the perfect example. Controls everything, lord of everything, all facilities there. He makes it the way he likes. You know, he changes how the nature works just to, so it's like the way he wants it. And still he's not happy. So if he can't be happy, none of us can. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying the intelligent man, therefore, takes up the devotional process, and there, in this way he'll be happy.
Okay? And the root of his unhappiness is relationships.
Yes, relationships. Because you're leaving out the relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? You can see it. So he has the most sense enjoyment, but he has the least connection with the Lord.
Yeah.
So that means someone who has a little more connection with the Lord is actually going to be happier than Hiranyakashipu, who has all the facilities in the universe.
It was the same thing with Chitrakirti Maharaj. He had everything, but he didn't have a son.
Yes, yes. So then, then, yeah, then he got the son, and then it was even more problem.
Yeah.
So it's only when he took up devotional service.
Yeah.
So even though he was Ritrasuri, he was a demon, he was actually more educated than Indra, because he knew about devotional service.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that we're thinking that the forms will make us happy when they can't.
Yeah.
It's that the forms can be used in devotional service, and pleasing Krishna will be happy.
Yeah.
But we're thinking, no, I'll use the forms for my own service and I'll be happy, but it won't work. You know, it's like saying my refrigerator will, you know, do great work without plugging it in. You know, take it, plug it into my belly button or something, you know, and then it's supposed to work like that, you know, so like that. Somehow the, you know, the, what do you call it, matrix wall has worked it out, but we're not going to make it happen. Right? So. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai
Jainatai Gaurapingala.